And welcome to Thumcast, where we're going to make fun of Scott for not even going to the Greybeards yet.
Well, you'll have to include me in that, because I haven't gone to the Greybeards yet, either.
What? What is with you people? I get sidetracked, but I've managed to progress the main plot a little bit.
I'm helping the companion.
I go 3 feet down the road, and then it's, ooh, shiny.
I definitely had that problem when I was heading to up the mountain as well. That you'd be going down the main road, and then it'd be this, like, dirt path that goes off to the side, and you're like, what's down there?
There's stuff all over the place. You were right, MLS. There are some crazy symbols all over there. There's a watermill. There's village. There's just like a house, a bear paw, a tree, a fairy wings. It's insane.
Well, not just that. I also have to recover from every time I get a follower killed. They're like the Western Desert Forest from World War II. We drop like flies.
Okay, tell us about your companions and how they died, James.
All right. Well, I've had three. I had Lydia. And, you know, as we recorded in the first podcast, I said, she's a tank. She never dies. And then within minutes after that podcast was done, boom, dead. So she just got hacked to death. I don't remember the details. She just got hacked to death. So then I went and got this dude called Ariandor, who you get from this quest where you're clearing a Diedrich temple out. There's miasma in it. And this guy used to be a member of the cult, and now he's not. And he's helping you, he helps you clear it out, and if you help him clear it out, he says, fine, I'll follow you whenever you want to come back. So when Lydia died, I came back and said, hey, dude, do you want to follow me? So he follows me. We go into the mage quest, you know, where you're going through the Dwemer ruins, and then you have to go back, and you end up having to go on the other quest to get the Staff of Magnus. Mm-hmm. We're on the journey to the Staff of Magnus, and he just often disappears. I go through 3/4 of the dungeon without him. I figured, well, he must have died way back there somewhere, and I didn't notice. Suddenly, he warps in at the very last scene and dies. just dies, you know, immediately. The first guy hacks him with a sword, and down he goes.
So that's
like, okay,
number two.
Well, that's useless.
Number three?
Well, number three is Braelina, the dark elf mage at the mage
now,
area.
Before you talk about how she died, my quest for her is glitched out. To get her as a companion, you have to allow her to experiment on you with magic, and you get a quest to wait for the thing to wear off. It takes about 4 hours normally, but when she went to cast it, it hit a wall and didn't hit me, so I never got cursed, but the quest is stuck waiting for the curse to disappear. So I can't get her as a follower. No. I need...
Okay, well, I didn't have that problem. The problem I had with her was I had gotten her as a follower in the game I was playing on the PC, and then I figured I'd go get her after one of my followers died on the Xbox. And the problem was I had started the mage quest, and if you get the mage quest to a certain point, you can't even get a conversation with her. She'll just, every time you talk to her, she'll just say, what do we do now? And then finally you finish the mage quest, and then she calms down and will follow you. I was taking her, oh gosh, which dungeon was it? I don't remember which dungeon it was. There's a dungeon where there's a bunch of Falmers, and there's a bunch of the Chitin things, and we're fighting those. And then there's a point where there's a trap door on the floor where you can go straight. And so I figured, okay, I'll try the trap door. And there's a big pit. So I figured, okay, halfway down there's a log going across the bottom. So I hopped down to the log, and then from there I hopped down to the floor. She wasn't smart enough to do that. She tried to hop all the way to the bottom and die. And the best part was that got me to the rejoining the Mage College quest, because apparently it was my fault that she died.
So they're the three people that died. Now, you've had a horse die as well.
Yes, I had a horse die. I bought a horse, and within 15 minutes of getting it, I see a dragon circling overhead. So I figure, okay, I'll get off the horse and go find the dragon. So I'm circling around trying to get the dragon's attention, and then I hear wolves. And I turn around, and there are two wolves that have eaten my horse.
What? Has anything else died on you?
Well, other than me a number of times, no.
See, now, I've killed my horse several times, all trying to go down a freaking cliff, and the horse really doesn't like that at all, and so it always dies. But I usually end up getting killed myself shortly after, so I always go back to a save where I previously still have the horse.
Well, I mean, I have to say that I can definitely cliff walk like I have in previous Bethesda games, and the horse can do it. Definitely can do it.
Mm-hmm. Oddly enough, you would think the horse would lose its footing, but...
No, it's definitely mountain horse.
The mountain, it's half mountain.
And the animations are pretty amusing when you're doing that, too, I have to say.
There are several cases with the animation system where the horse just disappeared and you're just sort of floating in the air.
Oh, the camera, and there you are with your legs all out like
yes.
that.
Okay, let's talk about the Archmage quest now. Only James, maybe Austin, have you done it? Yeah, let's talk about that for a bit. So sorry, Mackie and Scott, bit of spoilers here. It's one of the major side quests, and I've discovered that the main quest, which we're not going to talk too much about in this episode, but we darn well will be spoiling it next time we talk about it, because you guys just got to catch up. Anyway, the Archmage quest, it's like all of these major places, like the Bard's College, the Mage's College, etc., and they all have their own major side quests, and they're almost as big as the main plot, I would say. In fact, maybe as big as the main plot. Certainly is challenging, and in many respects, you know, the main plot wasn't that tough, to be serious. Can you stop messaging in Skype, Scott? Yes, of course your daughter can talk. Why not?
Can she play Noble yet?
I didn't think those warnings would, the little bloops would bother you. Sorry.
So the Mage's Quest, let's see, how does this, it starts...
Well, before you even get to the Mage's Quest, I have to say, based on the backstory of the Mage College in Winterhold and all the bad things that have happened to Winterhold, you would think now the Nords would have gotten together, you know, the Dragon Age equivalent, you know, the equivalent of a Dragon Age Exalted March, and just taken these bad boys out. I mean, there's, you know, every time they turn around, oh, well, we had another part of Winterhold burned down because of an experiment.
Not all of it is their fault. I mean, the Oblivion Crisis wasn't their fault. If we look at the first quest in the Mage's Quest, the Mage's College stuff, where you've got to get this amulet together. And we talked about this last time, getting the fragments of the amulet together. Well, it was warrior mages from, I believe, Solitude that marched on Winterhold that time to take them out. Because there's a bard's story about it. So there is definitely Solitude and Winterhold, they hate each other.
Right. Well, you get what you get when you go into the first part where you get the amulet piece. You get the whole lecture from the Psijic Order about how you've unearthed a great evil, and this is the orb, and you have to do something about it.
They didn't really call it an evil. They just said that the world
wasn't
ready for it.
Well, not an evil. Something you're not ready for. It's like, I don't know. Apparently, it's the equivalent of giving a nuclear warhead to somebody in 1500.
Yeah, probably. I actually find the whole Elder Scrolls thing really interesting. In what is an Elder Scroll is a bit more explained in the main plot. Which I'll talk about right now, despite not talking about the main plot, but they never really explained the Elder Scrolls in this way in the previous games, as far as I know, but an Elder Scroll is sort of a mapping of creation outside of time. So an Elder Scroll is sort of devoid of time, and its effects on time are really strange, and immortal beings are really sensitive to time, like dragons. Well, so-called immortal beings, because you spend the game killing them over and over again. But so what's really interesting is what the Dwemer were doing is they had a machine that would record images from the stars and interpret them into cubes.
So here's my side question at this point. Based on the machines the Dwemer had, who the heck killed these guys?
Whoever
killed them,
right?
I don't want to meet.
There's two potentials, and this comes from previous games. I haven't seen anything written about this in the current in Skyrim, although I haven't read all the Dwemer books. But it said that they basically ascended themselves, or maybe they blew themselves up.
Well, all I know is that when you're doing the Mage Quest and you're walking through the Dwemer ruin, which if you've got Lydia along at that point, she's really excited to see the Dwarven ruin right after the point she dies. But you walk in and you're dealing with the spiders. They're a little nasty, but they're okay. And then you go up that series of ramps and you turn a corner and a little ball falls out of the wall and you're figuring, okay, it's another spider. and then the ball unfolds like a transformer. And you're like, oh my god, you get your ass kicked two or three times before you finally figure out how to kill it.
Yeah, they were tough. And it's, you definitely need to range them. You can't let them near you because they just spike you with this spiky thing.
Yeah, they're incredibly nasty.
The Dwemer stuff is really cool. Like, there was this one tower I went through where you press a button, it opens up the gate but turns on this massive fire, and I had a screenshot of it that I showed you guys.
I used the
sprint through that shout to get past all those flames. On the other side, you press the button, turns off the flame, and shuts the gates again. So you can actually sort of see a part of Dwemer society there. They had a guy who would sit behind the desk, and if you wanted to enter this place, you needed to be able to walk through flames, basically. You would press the button, he'd press the button. That was basically a security gate. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so that security gate. Oh, actually, I don't think it's that one. There's a security gate you have to go through on your way through the Mage Quest where you go through it, and on the other side there's a ton of skeletons and the skeletal dragon.
You're talking about Labyrinthia?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You skipped way ahead.
I know.
Labyrinthian is way... It's right near the end.
Yeah, okay. Fine. I was just thinking of another security gate. There was just an amusing aspect to that. I went through by running through that, and my follower got trapped on the other side of the gate, so I did that whole battle by
myself.
Okay,
so I got the vampiric blood parasite, or whatever you want to call it, when I was clearing out a cave full of vampires. One must have bit me or something. And I didn't quite know that had happened. I was seeing messages at sunrise and sunset that my blood was boiling and strange things like that. So I thought, okay...
And you didn't think to go look at active effects to see if...
Well, active effects seems to be pretty lacking to me. When I'm poisoned, when I'm injured or diseased, I never see anything in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, okay, I need to go and clear out the curse. So I went to one of the shrines to get my curse cleared, and I went to the wrong one. It didn't do anything. It was inactive. This booming voice says to me, "You will be my light in the world." Sends me up... miles into the sky, this glowing ball, and tells me that I will be her light and clear out the temple. I thought, okay, I'll clear out this temple, then you can freaking cure me of this vampire stuff, right? So this was really cool. To do this, you need to go and get some stone that is lost in some other place. And I bring this up about you running ahead of your companions, because when you go into this cave, there are two people who want to go in there and loot the place, and they won't let you go in without them. Because they don't want you to take everything. So anyway, I figure, okay, it's on. It's a race. So as soon as I get in there, I just start jumping past all of the spiders. And they're back there fighting these spiders and stuff. And I just keep going. By the time I get to the end of this cave, defeat the big bad guy, get the stone, see a word on the wall, start making my way out, they're right back in the beginning. And they're just sort of walking up now after killing this spider. And it's like, oh, hi. Yeah, you guys can go in, whatever. I'm done here.
Got what I came for.
Okay, so the Elder Scrolls. I wanted to talk about an interesting encounter I had with the Wretched Abyss. So when you talk to the librarian at the Mage's College about Elder Scrolls, and maybe this option only comes up when you do part of the main quest, because the main quest involves an Elder Scroll. He mentions a guy that went off into the ice up in the north, and no one's seen him since. I went up there and found him, and there's this gigantic Dwemer cube, and it's locked. And it's locked, and the guy says that... what does he want you to do to begin with? He wants you to go and take this blank Dwemer box and inscribe it with information from the stars through an Elder Scroll in a Dwemer ruin. And that intersects with the main plot line. So if you've done that part, then you'll know the place I'm talking about. And so you get that. You go back to him, and he studies it, and he figures out that you need Dwemer blood to open this thing. Of course, there are no Dwemer around.
That'll be easy to find.
Well, there's no Dwemer blood around. But he mentions that the Dwemer elves, as is written in the lore, but... all the elves on Tamriel are actually descendants of the Dwemer, which was something that I didn't know.
Oh, so you can just go to any of those?
No, you have to collect a blood sample from each kind of elf.
Oh.
And then, so you start doing this, the Abyss, Wretched Abyss pops up again. It's sort of like this black vortex into nothing. It's pretty cool. And you like got the option of saying, no, you're an evil thing, go away, or yes, my lord, I'll do as you say. And he does seem pretty evil, but it turns out... well, I'll get to that in a bit. Anyway, so it took me a while to find the wood elf. All the other elves were reasonably easy to find. There's always somebody dead around that you can take blood off. Plenty of Falmar.
Yeah, you run across bodies off. It's not quite the same as... In Oblivion, you seem to run across corpses all the time.
Yes. So anyway, I got all the blood after a while, went back there, and the Abyss was like, I don't need this other guy anymore. You're going to be my guy in the world. You may have noticed a lot of this Daedric stuff is, we choose you. So anyway, he chooses me, and it doesn't really matter whether you say you're going to serve him or not, because he's sort of like, you know, you're going to serve me no matter what. But I was all pro, yeah, let's do this. You're a Richard Abyss, let's go and destroy things. So you open up this cube, and inside is a book. Now, you get this book, and you read the book, and you get to pick between three different paths, and you instantly get plus five in five different skill sets plus a level up.
Oh,
yeah,
geez.
It's really awesome. So this guy is the Daedric Prince of Forbidden Knowledge, and in his realm, he has every piece of forbidden knowledge that exists. So he's not really bad. I guess a lot of the other Daedric princes don't like him because he knows all the secrets.
just as another side thing, you mentioned, you know, back when we were doing the Fallout podcast, one of the things we mentioned early in the series was how quests just seemed to pile up and you had this full body of quests.
This game's even worse.
That was nothing. Yeah. That was nothing. Skyrim is just astonishing. Every time I look at my quest book, it's just... That's why I'm sidetracked, and I haven't gotten to the main plot. I'm like, every time I look, it's like, oh, main plot.
I've got like so eight or nine proper named quests, and then I've probably got another 10 under miscellaneous right
now. Yeah. What level is everybody at? I'm at level 34, I believe.
14.
19.
Yeah, so 27. I would say that when I went and did the main plot, when I went to face the big bad, I just smoked him. Just obliterated him. So in terms of like what level should you do the main quest at, Austin, you did it at level 7? 12, right.
12.
What, is that the level you started at when you began it, or what you were when you finished it?
When I faced the dual brothers, I was 12 then. That was the hardest part.
Yeah, actually, I imagine that would be the hardest part. When you were facing the zombie dead guys, were they full-on hard guys, or were they fairly easy at level 12?
They were... It was like the one step up below the lowest.
They were a bit of an issue for me. I think I was like level 27 when I started this quest, and they're all saying huachar at me, and and they were all multi hits. But I went in there with one of the masks on that regenerated my magic at 100%. Plus I had my Archmage robes on, which regenerate your magic at 50%, I believe. So I was regenerating my magic almost as fast as I could use it.
Yeah, that's good to have. But, you know, the funny thing is, the few big quests that I've done, the big bads at the end generally haven't seemed that bad. What's worse, almost in a way, is when I run across a bandit area, the bandit chiefs seem tough.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the main plot,
they have those big
scale.
Two-handed axes, and you know, if you let them get within an inch of you, two swipes and you're just toast if you're a mage.
Well, the perks that you go down the destruction line, when you do a dual cast, you can get a stunned effect on them, knocks them back.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I've got the shouts to do that too. I mean, what I've taken
no,
to doing
is,
with
this
them
is every
using...
dual-handed attack. So right now where I'm at in the game, if I come across a big guy, I'll attack him dual-handed lightning or fire. Or even ice, but ice doesn't seem to work that much well on most people. And it will stumble them back. If I strike them again with the dual cast, it doesn't count. It doesn't register. I have to wait for them to stop stumbling. Then I can strike them again and they'll stumble again. So I can actually keep two people stunned perpetually until they're both dead.
Okay. Well, what I've taken to doing is using the Word of Power for freezing solid. And taking the baddest guy in the room I can find and doing that to him, he'll take damage. As long as you don't hit him with something else, you let him freeze for a bit and he'll lose half his health. And then you just concentrate on fighting somebody else.
Well, I can take two people at a time. If you get him in a choke, then you can use the shouts most effectively.
Yeah, although they take a...
Against the harder people, I use my shield. I run up and bash him in the face a couple times and wait for my followers to come and get him. Because that keeps them stunned.
Well, you see, this would be possible if you hadn't gotten all your followers killed repeatedly.
So, speaking of followers, Janessa, I paid her 500 gold to be my follower way earlier in the game. I decided, okay, it's about time I had a follower again. I was going to take one on the main quest. She wants another 500 bucks. I'm like, no, I'll just go it alone.
All right, so who has everybody gotten as followers? I mean, I have the three that I mentioned.
Just Lydia and Janessa. That's all I've got. I've got people who have offered, but I haven't taken them up on the offer.
Yeah, I've got Lydia. She's parked in the White Run house at the moment.
I have Lydia. She's only been my only human follower, and I had a dog named Vigilance who got killed by Alduin in the first fight with him, and I just got a
new dog.
Where
are you finding these dogs? I want a dog.
Miko's at Miko's shack. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it's near a dragon lair. And
I've run across that shack. I just didn't go in because I was too busy trying not to get toasted by the dragon.
Yeah, he's just sitting next to his dead owner, and you can ask him, "You lost your owner. You want to come with me?" And he'll be like, "All right." And Vigilance, you can buy from the horse keeper at Macarth.
That's right.
They for $500.
The first time I went to Macarth, all the people were like, "We don't need mages here. You better watch your back." All these horrible things. A dragon attacked. I got off my horse. My horse disappears, and I figure someone's just stolen my horse. I have not been back to that town since yesterday when I was playing. I did not enjoy my Macarth, and I think it's a stinky little hole. So, anyway, the vampiric
the house is
curse.
Nice.
So I got the vampiric curse. I couldn't cure it in time. By the time I realized that being the lightened. So I got the stone, went back to the temple, and then she said, "You need to guide my light through the temple so we can cleanse it." And there was some necromancer in there using the temple to raise the dead and do horrible things. And speaking of which, all of the dead people in that temple, they were all carrying a lot of gold. I think maybe the necromancer said, "Everybody turn up and bring 100 gold with you." There's just dead bodies everywhere, and they all got lots of gold. So
basically, he's a televangelist.
Yeah, pretty much. So he was actually pretty easy to kill. That fight was pretty easy. And I got the light in there, and then I discovered that I still couldn't get cured by this stupid temple. So I ran back to Whiterun to get a cure all diseases. And as I arrived in Whiterun, my vampiric blood kicked in. So I was a vampire. So I had previously been talking to various inn owners about rumors. And this is a great way to get lots of interesting locations and quests. Just talking to people about rumors they've heard in bars. And one of them was about a guy who knew a lot about vampires. And he was in Macarth. So I went to Macarth, talked to him, and said, "Hey, I've heard you're an expert in vampires." And he said, "Yeah, I know a fair bit of stuff to know that I'm talking to a vampire instead of a person." And I was like, "Yeah, well, I want to be cured." and he said, "Yeah, there's a way to do it. I've never tried it before. We'll need a black soul gem filled with the soul of a person. You'll have to kill someone." And I was like, "No, we won't have to kill anyone. I've got a black soul gem already. It's filled. Let's go." So then you go out to this ritual place, and at the break of dawn, he does some chanting and overacts, and then you cure it.
See, now that's so much easier than what you had to do in Oblivion. You had to do 6 impossible things before breakfast to get rid of your vampirism if you caught it in Oblivion. The fetch quest was like, first do these 4 or 5 fetch quests. And then when you're done with that, we've got 4 or 5 more fetch quests for you. And then when you think you're finally finished, here's some more fetch quests for you.
Yeah, actually, being a vampire has a lot of advantages in this game. The perks list of vampire skills as you become more and more vampiric, i.e. not drinking blood, you just get more and more powerful. At level 4, you can completely turn invisible for 3 minutes or something like that. So if you need blood, you can just turn invisible, go into town, kill someone, leave.
Right, but do you also get, in Oblivion, you were actually hurt by the sun if you were out?
At level 4, yeah. At the different levels, it changes what the perks and problems are. So I was only level 1 when I got cured. I got a burning in my body when the sun came up.
Oh, I was going to ask if your face got all green.
No, but people were saying I looked a little pale.
Well, they've been telling me that since the game began. Do I have vampirism and not know it?
No, you can get diseases from fighting animals. You need to get cured.
Yes. It pops up in the corner with the other messages, and you can totally miss it if you're
having
a tough fight.
The game needs a way to scroll back in the logs sometimes, I'll tell you what.
Yes.
Okay, so that might be, maybe I am, well, I've taken periodic cure diseases, maybe I've had sickness.
It's like I told...
Yeah, you're probably walking around carrying all kinds of diseases at this point.
Yeah, it's like I told Scott the other day, just drop by your nearest...
Yeah, go to the Shrine of Talos in White Realm.
That's what I do that now.
Death to the Thalmor.
I like to,
well, if you didn't believe in Death of the Thalmor before you went on the mage quest, you probably much pretty believe it at the end of that
one. Yeah, screw O'Connor. I wanted to kill him before the freaking mage quest began.
Well, so did I. I didn't do it, but I should have. And then there was twice in the game now, I've been wandering through ruins with bandits, and I've had these Thalmor Justicars come out and lecture me on how the emperor better be vigilant about worshiping bad gods. And every time I see these guys, I'm thinking, am I powerful enough now just to waste these guys because they piss me off?
Well, see, there's a mission where you can, for one of the people in Whiterun, a family there, one of their sons has gone missing, and you find out that he's being captured by Thalmor agents.
I actually have that quest. I just haven't followed up on it.
Yeah, you go to this prison, kick a lot of Thalmor ass. After you rescue the guy, the Justicars are out to get you from then on, and I'm actually A-okay with that. They are pretty tough, but at the level I'm at now, then they're no issue for me, and they do need to be wiped off the face of Tamriel.
Now, has anybody else had assassins come after them other than the first one? Because I have finally gotten hit by an assassin.
No. I had
an assassin pop out behind some rocks in the middle of nowhere once. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what I had. I was out in the middle of nowhere, and an assassin said, come out and says, you shouldn't have come here. And I'm like, huh?
It was funny, take
a fireball.
He literally popped out and said, aha! I was like, what? Turned around, there's this assassin there.
You're the most unstealthy assassin ever. And what triggers this? I haven't had any assassins.
I don't know who...
No, I pretty much used a line from Dragon Age 2 on that guy.
Don't know
guy,
what
so
I did to annoy them.
But, that was the end of him.
Yeah, they're after me. There was that one time I stole from that courier, which we talked about last time, so we won't go into that again, but... So there are still a...
Have any of you guys had thief
No one's trying
out?
To rob me, no.
Oh, I just told him I'm your
guild. Yes,
no,
I did have a thief try to come at me once, and I said, no, I'm not giving you my stuff, and he got really upset, and then I killed him.
Oh, I've had three of them on the road, and I've wiped out every one, yeah.
Well, I'm the guild master of the Thieves Guild, so I'm like, don't you recognize me? And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry.
I should go and do more of those quests, but I guess now I'm trying to get to the 100,000, which you've now done, Austin. You've got the $100,000 achievement.
Yep.
So I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to save up my money. So doing the Thieves Guild is probably a good idea because you can make money doing that.
It is. On each quest, there's a unique item that's rare to that quest, and if you grab it, it's like worth hundreds to thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I sold my Elder Scroll to the librarian. I got 2,000 for it. I don't know if that was the best deal.
That's the best deal. I have these two Eyes of the Felmar that are worth 25 each. 25.
I think I'd only enjoy that if I got to take them out personally.
No one has enough money to buy it, so it's just worth to hang on to.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, most of the vendors have very limited money. Most of them are around 750 gold.
The most is the Thieves Guild.
Well, you know what you could do? You could buy stuff off somebody that you actually has things you want, so they get more money, and then you could sell one.
Yeah, I've done that to get rid of stuff, but
So if you join with the Stormcloaks, does that hurt your position with the Jarl of Whiterun?
I think it would until the war is over, and I haven't even begun that yet. I am going to be joining the Stormcloaks because I'm so sick of the Thalmor. I figure, you know, if Skyrim takes the lead, then the Empire will follow, and we will go to war and we'll win this time. You know, sure, they're all decked out with fancy armor and magics and stuff, but damn it, we're Nords.
And they're not eyelids anyway.
Because I was thinking, it's like, I really like that Jarl.
He's on the fence, that guy. He hasn't picked a side. So I think that he probably wouldn't want to be involved with anything that you're doing in terms of the rebellion.
But would I still be able to go in there and have a house and all that? Or would they be like, or would I be ostracized?
No, I think you'd be fine.
You're fine, because there's a fight in Whiterun. And nothing happens.
So I'm gonna be joining the rebellion soon. Probably next time I play, as well.
I guess I'm the traitor then.
Well, you joined the end.
Oh, you're gonna do the Imperial?
How could you fight for a non-Nord general fighting in Skyrim for Skyrim? That.
Well, we gotta do something different. Someone's, you know.
He's secretly a Cylon. That's why.
If he didn't do this, our podcast doesn't have that point of view.
Okay, now you are Nord.
Exactly.
See, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
If you were, like, if not from Skyrim, it would make more sense to back the Imperials.
Yeah, my character's Imperial. It makes sense for her to back the Imperials, but...
Yeah,
well, the general gives you good stuff. He gives you, like, really expensive stuff after each mission.
He's using it for the shinies.
Yeah. I bet there's something equivalent on the Stormcloak side.
I like money. Well,
what he didn't tell you is that his character's name is Quisling.
Quisling? What?
You guys have no sense of history. How about Arnold? Benedict Arnold ring any bells?
Moving on. This is Tamriel we're talking about here.
You guys are all heathens.
So I believe two of us here have actually started smithing.
Yeah, I did.
So explain. If you make
I'm up to 73.
With a diamond in it or a sapphire or something like that, how much do you get for it when you sell it?
A lot.
Yeah, you can even do with...
Like $800.
Because when you're mining, you get a bunch of the non-flawless garnets and amethysts and stuff, and you can use those up in the silver jewelry.
I suppose if you really wanted money, you could just stay at home making jewelry and every day get $100 from the wife, and then sell it to the wife as well. So you're probably getting, you know, $1,000 from your wife every day. So that would only take you, what, 100 days to get the achievement.
Now you just need a script to run it.
You get the gold and the diamonds.
Sorry, what was that, Scott?
Where are you getting the gold and diamonds
from? I already got lots of it.
I know a mine. I know where there's a gold mine.
Yeah, I ran into, in a bandit mine, a transmute spell. And when you cast it, it makes iron to silver, and then it will make silver into gold.
There's books you can do for that.
Oh, yeah, I found that, too.
There was a bunch of bandits in some place.
I'm beginning to feel like I really should have
been mage. There is a cave that you end up going to in the main plot to get to the Elder Scrolls. It's really... For those of you who play Minecraft, when you get down to, like, Y6 or 10, everything gets really dark, and there's, like, particles in the sky, in the air. There's a cave like that, and it's filled with...
That was a cool place.
I've got to go back there and do more. There's a quest there to get this special kind of Nurn flower thing. And, yeah, well, it's a special kind. Anyway, I took that stuff in and out of my satchel a couple of times, and I'm now at -4. You've got to get 30 of them. I'm at -4? What happened? Will it even be possible to complete the quest? I don't know. So anyway, down there is some really rare minerals.
You owe your satchel Nurn roots. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, down there is some really rare minerals. And there's some rare minerals at the very top of the throat of the world as well.
I couldn't find those. You gotta climb up. At the throat of the world. Oh.
So there are some specific quest type questions that I want to ask Austin, but... we'll save that for another time, I think. So, we got asked on, I guess it was Facebook or was it Twitter, somebody was saying, or was it iTunes? Someone was asking us to talk about our characters a bit. Go first. Level 34, I believe. Mage of Destruction. I've completed the Destruction line. That entire constellation is done. Which is kind of cool. I thought there was an achievement for that, but I'm not sure I got one. Anyway, she is a female Nord, married to the woman from Whiterun. Riverwood. And let's see, what else to say about her? Her name is Arion. Why did I pick a female? Because if I'm going to spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours playing a game, I'd much rather look at a woman running around than a man.
The age old justification.
Well, I know it's an interesting conundrum, isn't it?
Well, now that you've said this, I don't have to.
Well, it always kind of confused me a little bit. Like, you see someone playing Gears of War 3, and there's this gigantic meaty guy grunting on the screen, and this is what they're staring at for hours and hours and hours. I probably insulted some of our audience here, but I'm sorry. But it's definitely two ways of thinking about it. If I were really into role-playing, then I think I wouldn't play a woman because I'd be role-playing. I couldn't do that. But I'm just not – I just don't do that. That's not what I do when I play the game. So I'm sure plenty of people who play Elder Scrolls games are really into who their character are and, you know, play it as a sort of D&D sort of thing. But that's not me. So, lives in Whiterun. Has defeated the Eater of Worlds and is the Archmage. That's probably all I've got to say about that. I think I said Nord. Yeah, Nord. Classic Nord, too. I went for the blue eyes, blonde. I went for that kind of amber eyes. I went for the amber eyes because they're cool looking. And blonde hair because I like blondes. Over to you, James. Tell us about your character.
Well, I'm playing a Breton, and for the same reasons you brought up, I'm playing a woman. And actually, oddly enough, her name is oddly similar to yours. I used Ariana.
It's like, let's choose generic female fantasy name.
Generic blonde.
Well, no, I've got a Breton, so it's not a Nordic. No, so it's different.
No, I'm just saying, it's kind of predictable what we did. I can almost guarantee like 80% of the guys listening to this podcast are going to go, wow, my character's name is really similar to that too.
Well, so she's the head of the Archmage, finished that quest. Right now just lives at, in the Archmage's quarters because that seems simple. And because I'm only level 14, I haven't gotten that far. And I guess we can go on over to
James, you're not married?
No, not married. Like I said, I'm only level 14. I've only visited Whiterun, Winterhold. I walked through Windhelm, but didn't do anything there. And, the brush through in Riverrun, so, or whatever that place is, the first place you get to at the beginning of the game. I haven't gone that many places.
Whereas, Scott, when you played, you got to Riverwood and you said, you know what? This place looks good. I think I might stay here and help everybody out.
There's only two quests in that town.
Only two
quests. There's the love triangle and then the golden claw and then you're done.
Well, that's not entirely true, but you'll see. Tell us about your character, done. Scott.
My character's Redguard. He's level 14 right now. I've only been to Falkreath and Whiterun, but I've become part of the companions and became a werewolf. And as soon as I find the Amulet of Amara, I think I'll be picking Ayla and probably live in Whiterun as well. And I've been doing warrior stuff. I've been going into the one-arm attacks and heavy armor, but I also like the smithing because you can make money with that.
Nice. You're not married yet, no, but you... So, a little spoiler about the werewolves here. Ayla is your sire. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
Makes sense to marry your sire.
yeah. It might vary if you pick someone else. There was one point where they said, go talk to the leaders and ask them for help, to do a quest. And all of them were highlighted. And when I picked Ayla, I only got to do her quest. After that, all the other quests went away, so I don't know what other quests there were. There was one for Falkus, one for Vilcres, and I didn't do theirs. And so I think because I picked Ayla, she became my sire because she liked that I helped her out.
Austin, tell us about your character.
He's level 27. He's big on smithing. He's got 75 in smithing. I like making iron daggers to level up. I'm the master of the Thieves Guild, the Archmage of the college, currently working on the Companions quest, married Camilla from Riverwood. I like heavy, shiny armor with big swords and shields. I'm currently relocating to Solitude for my house, and
it'd be quite
likes
hard
money.
To move house actually because you get so much stuff.
Yeah, I know it's gonna take lots of trips.
With everything and take a really long walk.
Really long.
I did that in Fallout 3.
I've done that in Morrowind.
That'll work really well until a dragon's
I think fun. I'll just leave my stuff in the old house and just start collecting stuff in a new house.
I've slayed 41 dragons so far.
So you haven't found every word yet, I assume.
I've found 30-some words and unlocked 17 shouts. And there's 20 shouts.
Since Alston was telling us earlier before we started recording that once you've killed 40 dragons, you don't capture any more dragon souls. And we were like, what? That's outrageous. And then upon talking about some more, that's the exact number you need to plus the free words that you get to unlock every single word that you can get for every shout. So there's almost no reason to save up shouts unless you are desperately wanting to save up for a particular line that you know you're about to unlock, which you probably don't know because you don't know what you're going to find when you go into various caves. So...
Or you're scared of dragons.
Yeah, well, the next time you play through, you'll know and you'll want to save up.
I think the next time I play through, I might attempt to do the main quest as fast as possible because Dragonrend makes fighting dragons so much easier. Okay, so that brings us to Mackie. Tell us about your character.
Well, I have an Imperial girl. It's level 19 at the moment. Her specialties kind of... We're the sneaking thing. It's probably be a great character to do Dark Brotherhood with, but I don't know if she's that, you know, immoral. Stealing is okay, but killing people not so much. What, just because she's an Imperial?
It kind of goes with the territory. Yep.
Sneaky Imperials in Skyrim. stealing special masks from caves from dragon priests.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'll
wait
too. Wait a minute.
Yeah, okay, so I just want to sidetrack you just a moment for a second. There was this cave, place I went to, and there's a guy out the front. He's an Imperial soldier, so he claims that he's been sent on orders to fetch a mask from inside this cave and a journal. So I realized, oh, it's another dragon priest. Those things are pretty nasty. But I was getting up there in the levels at this point, and I thought, okay, I can take him. So I went in there, fought the whole way through, got the journal, got the mask, came out, and there is an Imperial soldier talking to a Stormcloak soldier. I'm like, wait a second. So I get down there, and they're like, oh, it's not what you think. And then they're like, get him. And so they both start attacking me. I killed them both, and it turns out they're actually some mages from some outside of Skyrim, and they've got orders to fetch this mask. And in the orders, it says, if you need to talk to anybody, just dress up as a soldier and pretend to be a soldier.
Awesome.
Okay, so, sorry, continue your story, Mackie.
The highest skill she's got right now is actually sneak, because it levels up so fast when you get a sneak attack in. It just keeps going and going. I mean, the next closest thing I have, it's over 60, and the next closest thing I have is, I think, early 40s archery. It's just ridiculous. But I've got her living in Whiterun right now, and I'll probably, whenever I get her married, I'll move them somewhere else, but I don't know
well,
which place yet.
Well, considering all the sneaky in it, either Riften, where the Thieves Guild is, or Dawnstar, where the Dark Brotherhood is, would be a good place to live.
Well, considering there's the guy that your first contact with the Thieves Guild in Riften is probably the guy I'll marry her to.
Oh, really? Why? What perk does he give you? So he doesn't get you money.
Except calling her lass all the time. And be careful. And like, does he like her or is it just me?
That's jealousy.
No. So, because some of these will go questing with you, which is good. So that as a follower. And then there's the ones that stay at home and make $100 every day, which is great. And then there are other ones that don't seemingly do anything but be married to you. So where does he fall? Will he go with you on quests? Or is he just going to be stay-at-home-do-nothing husband?
I don't think you can marry him, actually.
Really? I was just be able to...
There's a set number. There's... Yeah. Set number.
Wait. I'll have to ask the wiki then. Tell me if I can.
Yeah, I personally, you know...
You don't let me do that.
I think if you...
I'm looking right now.
If I were you, James, I'd marry the companions because they're eventually going to die anyway, right? Right? And then you can just marry another one and marry another one until you've killed them all.
It's too late now. I've already killed three.
James,
well, I'm just saying, you know...
My goal is to kill every companion and see what kind of punishment there is for each one.
Nice. So, yeah, Austin and I went for... I think, Austin, you went for... Camilla, right? So we get 100 gold a day from them, which is nice.
I also found out why the elf fell down in Austin's wedding is if you kill a companion by accident and then you go to get married, they will drop dead at the wedding to kill.
Well, they're meant to be turning up to the wedding because there's someone you know.
Yeah.
But if they're dead, things go wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't think I killed the guy, because he was in my house, like, the next day, alive.
What?
It was like,
well, I'm kind of curious,
glitch.
When James goes to get married, how many dead bodies are going to turn up to that one?
You remember that song from the 80s, It's Raining Men? That's what it'll do.
Yeah, you can't marry that guy, Mackie.
What? Where does it say that? Someone so I found
it's an interesting thing in the speech path where you can get a 10% discount.
Guess what I'll be buying. I will change this flag. Yes,
so there's a 10% discount that you can get as a perk in the speech tree that when trading with the opposite sex. And I found this interesting because they made a big deal in the news about you can marry the same sex in this game, which is great for me playing a female character. I'm obviously going to marry a female. but there is no perk to get a discount from the same sex, like there were perks in Fallout New Vegas for dealing with the same sex in speech, which was the
confirmed bachelor. That means I'm just a really manly man, right?
So I found it interesting that was left out of the constellation in the speech tree. I don't know how they could have balanced it a bit better, but whatever. Okay, so...
Well, I think I think we're ready to take it out, Michael.
I think you're right. And people asked for longer episodes. People also asked for shorter episodes. People asked for more episodes and fewer episodes. Some people don't like our episodes at all. Some people asked for better audio, in which case I blame James.
Well, the third episode was better because I finally got good audio from everybody instead of pieces.
And thank you to everybody who's given us feedback. Someone asked for more community involvement. Anything you send us on, whether it be by Twitter, by email, by Facebook, or in iTunes, we do read it and we do respond. So if you feel like you want to get in touch with us, just go right ahead. And if you're able to, and that's a big if because people getting set up for this is a little bit tricky. If you're able to get Skype working and record your audio, get in contact with us at the same time that we're doing our recordings, there's a lot of ifs in there, then yes, of course you can be a guest on the show. So, of course I haven't prepared for the outro here.
Misses his cue yet again.
Yeah. So, if you've missed an episode and you need to, or you want to subscribe to the iTunes feed, join the Facebook group, join the Steam group, and there are other things there now. We've got profile pages for each of us, which aren't very exciting. Don't bother with that. No, James put a lot of effort into those, like all of 5 minutes.
I put minutes of effort
into
that.
And we're actually starting to link to some of the things we've found as the greater Skyrim community. Like there was this hilarious comic of someone saying, "It's winter, it's cold, I don't want to go outside." And then on the next panel was Skyrim. "It's beautiful and wintery out here, I must go on adventures." That was great.
Oh, I love that.
You can find all of these links and more at www.jarober.com, jarober.com/thumcast, thumcast. And on that note, happy Skyriming.